Luckily, I was saved from complete collapse by the appearance of dear Deborah. "Come on," she said brusquely. "We're going upstairs." "May I ask why?" "We're going to talk to the office staff," she said. "See if they know anything."
"They must know something if they have an office," I offered. She looked at me for a moment, then turned away.
"Come on," she said.
It may have been the commanding tone in her voice, but I went. We walked to the far side of the arena from where I had been sitting and into the lobby. A Broward cop stood beside the elevator there, and just outside the long row of glass doors, I could see several more of them standing at a barrier. Deb marched up to the cop at the elevator and said, "I'm Morgan." He nodded and pushed the up button. He looked at me with a lack of expression that said a great deal.
"I'm Morgan, too," I told him.
He just looked at me, then turned his head away to stare out the glass doors. There was a muted chime, and the elevator arrived. Deborah stalked in and slammed her hand against the button hard enough to make the cop look up at her, and the door slid shut.
"Why so glum, sis?" I asked her. "Isn't this what you wanted to do?" "It's make work, and everybody knows it," she snarled.
"But it's detective-type make work," I pointed out.
"That bitch LaGuerta stuck her oar in," she hissed. "As soon as I'm done spinning my wheels here, I have to go back out on hooker duty."
"Oh, dear. In your little sex suit?"
"In my little sex suit," she said.
And before I could really formulate any magical words of consolation, we arrived at the office level, and the elevator doors slid open. Deb stalked out, and I followed. We soon found the staff lounge where the office workers had been herded to wait until the full majesty of the law had the time to get around to them. Another Broward cop stood at the door of the lounge, presumably to make certain that none of the staff made a break for the Canadian border. Deborah nodded to the cop at the door and went into the lounge. I trailed behind her without much enthusiasm and let my mind wander over my problem. A moment later, I was startled out of my reverie when Deborah jerked her head at me and led a surly, greasy-faced young man with long and awful hair toward the door. I followed again. She was naturally separating him from the others for questioning. Very good police procedure. But to be perfectly honest, it didn't light a fire in my heart. I knew, without knowing why, that none of these people had anything meaningful to contribute. Judging from this first specimen, it was probably safe to apply that generalization to his life as well as to this murder. This was just dull routine make-work that had been doled out to Deb because the captain thought she had done something good, but she was still a pest. So he had sent her away with a piece of real detective drudgery to keep her busy and out of sight. And I had been dragged with her because Deb wanted me along. Possibly she wanted to see if my fantastic ESP powers could help determine what these office sheep had eaten for breakfast. One look at this young gentleman's complexion, and I was fairly sure he had eaten cold pizza, potato chips, and a liter of Pepsi. It had ruined his complexion and given him an air of vacuous hostility.